Jesus, thank you for today. God, thanks for every person that's here. I just pray these next couple minutes, God, that you would just interrupt our lives. God, that you just show us the truth of who you are. Help us, strengthen us. We need you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to read a passage to you that I think is the foundation for this series, foundation for what we need to believe before we can move forward. And this is very beneficial. So Romans chapter 8, just even the first four words, for I am convinced, okay? This is Paul talking. This is Paul, you guys, Paul, who's a murderer, persecutor, lots of things that he did publicly. And he's saying, I am convinced. Convinced of what? That nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death nor life, angels nor demons, our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, this is the foundation of everything that we're talking about. That for me to move mountains in my life, I have to come from a place, an understanding, a perspective that no matter what I've done or where I've been, nothing can separate me from the love that God has for me. Nothing. This is beneficial for the gospel. This is foundational for the gospel. If we move past this and we try to fix our lives based on any other foundation, we're missing the point. Because then everything else that we're trying to do, we become flexible in, or we justify in, or we make excuses in. He's like, no, 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 no. Nothing. I am convinced. Nothing. Nothing can separate. Well, what about nothing? And this is difficult. Might not be difficult right now because of where you're living. This is a foundational thing that we have to constantly talk about. Because as we've talked through the last 3 weeks, whether it's Luke 15 or whether it's anger and God's commandment that because you're human and because you're around crazy people and because we too are crazy, there's going to be anger issues that get stirred up. And because we're talking about these things, that the Bible is clear that we got to let go of those things. Okay? Yes, you're going to be angry, but you got to let go of those things. Luke 15 is a great principle, a great story of father and sons and how they live and what this father did and how he loved. And it's difficult, you guys. Okay? We talked last week about forgiveness, but specifically forgiving ourselves. And the first thing in forgiving ourselves that we have to establish is that we have to own our sins, own our mistakes, own our life, that we cannot point fingers. And that starts with us confessing. And there's lots of times, you can Google confession in the Bible, and you're going to see that the first step, the first part of the process in forgiving yourself is confessing or owning what it is that you've done. Okay? Not what somebody else has done, what you've done. This is what we have to see. You see it in Psalm 32, Psalm 51 with David's life. It is accepting responsibility and admitting that you are the man without overlooking, justifying, or excusing what you did. Okay? This is us owning it. All right? Again, I don't own well unless I understand God's love for me. When I understand God's love for me, that He is for me, that He loves me, then I can own, confess. It's also accepting God's grace. You must recognize that apart from God's grace that He gives, apart from that, there is no real forgiveness. Okay? I think without Jesus, we forget, we overlook, but there's no real forgiveness until we accept His grace. Forgiveness is dealing with sins. And we say even dealing with sins in love. Listen, this is you beginning the process of loving yourself. And there is a difference between confidence and arrogance. Arrogance does not admit that they've made have sins. Arrogance is, it's always your fault. Confidence is, I know who I am, but I also know whose I am. Okay? There's a big difference. Also, forgiving yourself is not defining yourself by your worst moments or your best moments. We have to understand the depth of our sin to understand the magnitude of God's grace. Okay? So we have to see the big picture. We have to see that sin is big and that first and foremost, we are sinning against God. Okay? But I don't understand the magnitude of God's grace until I can understand how big sin is. Okay? If I'm constantly overlooking, if I'm constantly going, no big deal, then I'm always going to view that way from God's grace standpoint too. Oh, no big deal. All good. Paul, again, persecutor, blasphemer, murderer. These were things he had done, but things he'd also been forgiven of. Paul no longer identified as a murderer. He no longer identified as someone who was persecuting the church. You know why? Because he had been forgiven. When are we going to stop identifying with our past and realize we have been forgiven? Okay? Hey, that's first and foremost accepting that with you. Stop calling yourself what you're calling yourself. You're not that anymore. The old is gone. Behold, all things are new. You are defining yourself now by God's love for you. Hear what I'm about to say to you. You are not worthless because of your sins. You are not worthwhile because of your righteous acts. You are worthwhile because God defined you as worthwhile. He paid the price, and he purchased you from your sins by his son's blood. Forgiving yourself means seeing a person loved by God that much. Okay? Forgiving yourself means that I'm confident that I'm loved, I'm confident I'm forgiven, I'm confident by God, by me, and I start living free. Free to live. Free to be unhindered by the view of what other people think of me. View to be unhindered by the view of how I think of me. View to be unhindered to look and to live how God views me and how God sees me. That I'm a son and daughter of the King. And that's truly living free. But again, it starts in that foundation. Again, Paul is seeing himself as this. And I'm going to be upfront with you. We're going to talk about some hard things, things that I struggle with, things I still struggle with. You're not looking, again, at someone who's perfect. You're looking at someone who struggles, someone who has issues. And I'll have a family that'll stand up real quickly to testify to that. All right? I'm in the middle of just trying to figure out some things. I'm in the middle of realizing past hurts, past mistakes, and all of these things getting brought up and what the Bible is saying about how we deal with those once they get brought up. Because I think there's many times that all of us have said, no, I've totally forgiven that person or I've totally forgiven myself. Then why are you so mad? Why when this gets brought up, are you still doing this? Maybe you're not. So thinking and dreaming out loud here. What if followers of Jesus, people who attended church, people who called themselves Christians, were known as the people you could not offend? I know, big ask, huh? What if we were known for that? Matthew 24:10 talks about last days. Many believe we're living in these last days. Personally, I believe that as well. And we can talk about that in another series. But in these last days, it says in Matthew 24:10 that you will find people who are highly offended. Okay? That's what the last days. Turn on your TV. Okay? Right? We're easily offended. But we're going to talk about just us today. Okay? We're going to talk about who we are. As followers of Jesus, as people, whether you're beginning a relationship with Jesus, don't want a relationship with Jesus, curious about a relationship with Jesus, being forced into a relationship with Jesus, wherever it is in stage of life, you are here in this moment right now. And Paul is addressing the church. The Hebrew writers addressing the church, addressing people who at least had a mindset of, I want to pursue more. I want to come to this place where there's got to be more than what I'm currently. And every single one of us, we're going to come to this place. We will come to this place in life, whether life happens to us, people happen to us, circumstance happens to us, where we come to this place and we go, is this it? Or is there more to life? And I'm going to just tell you right now, there's more to what we're... Life is than what you're currently experiencing. There is more. That should, for people without hope today, that should give you hope. But we have to talk about some things. We have to talk about, why aren't we advancing? Why aren't we growing? Why are we constantly always bringing up the same old stuff? Why are all these things still feel like we're not getting anywhere? Why did this mountain look like it's getting bigger? Maybe it's not because people are putting dirt on the mountain. Maybe we're putting dirt on the mountain. Maybe I can't move this mountain because I'm creating the mountain. So what is an offense? An offense is a violation, a lack of politeness, a failure to show regard for others, or wounding the feelings of others. We know this. Nothing in life starts big. It starts small. And an offense is a seed that's been planted. I'm going to say that word a lot. A seed that has been planted in your heart. And some of you instantly, you can go back to seeds that were planted in your heart 20 years ago, 5 years old, 10 years old. Seeds that were planted in your heart. Things that were said to you. Things that were done to you. Offenses that have happened to you that you've carried. And you've said things like, no, totally good, totally over that. You've forgotten about it, but you've just thought about it. I say offense, and you go to so-and-so. Seeds of offense are the beginning of developments of offense in our lives. It's a spiritual seed. There are 4 ways these seeds get sown into us. Okay, we understand this. What others said to us. What others did not say to us. You could be offended in this room because you don't feel appreciated. Okay, so now all of a sudden there's a seed in your heart where you're like, so-and-so does not appreciate me. They don't even tell me they appreciate me. And now all of a sudden you have this seed in your heart where you're ticked off at them. And you're like, I don't even know why I'm ticked off. They didn't even do anything. And that's the point. They didn't do anything. What others did to us, negative actions, reactions, selfish actions, humiliating experiences, all of these can cause the seed of offense. And what people didn't do for us. They didn't show us, do a favor. They didn't show assistance or give assistance. They didn't do things for us. All of these things are opportunities. Small things, right? These are small things. These probably happened this morning, right? Some of these things probably happened this morning. You didn't say the right words. You said the wrong words. You didn't do the right action. You did the wrong action, right? All of these things are opportunities for us to be offended. Right? And all of this is what? It's reflecting our perspective. Has there ever been a moment where you were in the middle of something and you get caught in the middle of it and then someone sees you do that thing, right? Someone sees that's you. Like, this is a small example, but I want you to understand. So at a soccer game, I go, I was getting some stuff off the bus. Parent shows up. I've been there for an hour already. I'm getting there for the bus. But a parent says to me, oh, just getting here, coach? Like, no, I've actually been here an hour taking care of your bratty kid on the bus the whole time. But I didn't just get here. But I'm glad your assumption and your perspective was that I just showed up for the game. Right? What is that? That's a perspective that I can get really ticked off, try to explain away. But it's like, what's the point? It's perspective. That's a small thing, right? Small things, that's usually how offenses happen. Small, right? So this is what James says, Jesus' brother. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Just throwing that out there. Now, I'm not recommending that you go home and say, you're jealous, you little devil. Okay. Man. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. Okay? So again, we're coming from a place of going, why is there chaos? Why is there disorder? We're coming from a place of, why do things not seem to be going right? Why are things out of place? Why are all of these things sprouting out? And what is sprouting up is evil. Like, it's evil stuff that's happening. And, this is difficult. It's, it might even be people that you thought were saved that are participating in the evil. But they're so-and-so. They've been around the church, yet They have bitter jealousy and there is selfish ambition, and that jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom, and they're earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Are there times, well, this is opening up a whole other points of conversations that you can have later with one another. Are there times that I'm contributing, right, with the things that I say and do, evil, that's assisting in someone not moving forward by what I say, by what I do? Okay? This is, again, if you're mad, get mad at James, Jesus' brother. He knew Jesus really well. After this bad seed grows, it will produce the fruit of resentment. Bad fruit, but it's resentment. See, when I don't deal with an offense, it turns into resentment. And when resentment happens, now all of a sudden, it's not that I'm just mad at you, I resent you. And when I resent you, I'm no longer hearing God's voice. Okay? And this is what the writer in Hebrews says. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. So what's he say first? Hey, make sure we're looking after one another. Right? Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Corrupting who? See, I think there's this mindset of my problem, I'll deal with it. It doesn't affect anybody else. What we're seeing is it's affecting everybody else. It's corrupting, or another translation says defiling many. You've defiled innocent people because you've not chosen to do anything with the bitter seed that you have because of an offense, because of bitterness, because of what's been said. Again, this is what's been done to you. There's a difference between guilt and bitterness. If I say a lie and I start lying to a couple people, all of a sudden I feel what? Guilty, because I'm the one that lies. If you start saying a lie about me and you start telling everybody, who am I bitter at? I'm not guilty. I don't feel guilt. I'm bitter towards you, because guilt is sin that you do. Bitterness is sin that people do to you. That's bitterness. I'm not typically bitter at myself. I feel guilty. I feel shame, but I'm bitter at you. This is the definition. And there's only two ways that bitterness comes out: what we say and what we do. I mean, and I think this is almost what I would call like the sleeper sin. It's the sin that you and I can cover up. It's the sin that I could come in and I can have a smile on my face and I say, hey, how are you? How are you doing? Because the coffee pretty much made me happy that day, so I can cover up the bitterness that I have inside my heart. Right? A good cup of coffee, right amount of creamer. I mean, I'm good to go. It's like the best day in the world. I've forgotten for a moment how ticked off I am. And then someone says something. And then I remember. And then I think back. And then I pause for a moment, or something reminds me, and then I'm reminded of I'm being fake, I'm being hypocritical. This is the sleeper stuff that we don't talk about. We don't talk about these things because we can hide this stuff. I can hide being bitter. I can hide being angry. In fact, I think we become really good at it. Like almost to the point where we believe it. Like I actually believe how I'm living that I'm not that way. Why? Because there's this bitterness that happens. But at some point, this thing is going to grow. And when it grows, it's going to get to a place where now all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you've just corrupted many. There are people that are defiled. So what causes this? Sin? Misunderstanding? Frustrations? Expectations of what we think we deserve? What causes that? Left unchecked, I believe the seed of bitterness will destroy you. I believe it will destroy. And I think what the writer in Hebrews is saying is that it will destroy the people around your life. And now innocent people are getting hurt. And we've been on the end of that. Some of you in this room, you had a bitter dad. And he said things to you that were unfair. And they were seeds, because that's what bitter people do. They spew out bitter things. And now all of a sudden that anger and that hurt, and you're wanting to know now as an adult, why am I so angry? Well, you're angry because there were seeds of bitterness and anger that were put inside your heart. But I want you to know today that Paul the persecutor, Paul the murderer, Paul the one that shouted slander against followers of Jesus is convinced that there is nothing that can separate this love that God has for him. And that same love that God has for him, he has for you. So we need to be reminded of that. Ephesians 4 says this. So let's unpack this real quick. Ephesians 4 says this. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. And but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? It's a question. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. You know what I love about that passage the most? And we could pick that apart all day long. He asks us to forgive one another, not in our own love, but in Christ's love. You know why? Because it's impossible to forgive one another in our own love. Hear what I'm about to say to you, because I need to say it again. It is impossible to forgive people in your own understanding and strength. Can't happen. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. It's intended to be. It's supposed to be. It's impossible. Well, what about if I become, you know, do step A, B, and C? Good luck. At some point, that thing's going to sprout up, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to defile many. And I would say the longer we delay, the more it's going to defile. Paul is describing all of these emotions that come from bitterness, come from being offended. All of these emotions, that's what he says, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, insults, all of these things. You can look at other translations. He says, if you don't deal with the bitterness will progress and you'll have extreme wrath, extreme anger when you don't deal with bitterness. If you don't deal with the anger, then you'll start to clamor or what? Demand what you want. When you don't deal with the anger, now you're demanding what it is that you want. You don't deal with the clamor, then all of a sudden you start talking bad about the person that you're bitter at. And now all of a sudden you're recruiting others to agree with and to justify your feelings. That is slander and gossip. And it all derives from a bitter seed that was planted in your life that you never dealt with. You never dealt with it. And now you're slandering all in the name of prayer requests, all in the name of I want to talk about this person in hopes that they get better. That's a bunch of crap. No, you don't. You want to slander them because that's what bitter people do. They gossip and they slander. If you find yourself talking about someone else and you do not make them look good, then you have bitterness towards that person. Let's call it what it is. Stop calling it what it's not. This is why Proverbs 18 says what it says. When there's two stories and you hear one first, you believe it until you hear the second one. What is that? The story in your mind is the first story you hear first. It's the story that you made up. It's the story that you're telling where you look great. Right? I bend it in my favor. Always, I bend it in my favor to make me look good in the situation. To what? To justify my bitterness. And now we're justifying our bitterness. And now when that goes unchecked, we have a desire to harm the person. Oh, let's not talk about that. That's only stuff that happens on Dateline. Bull. No. Yeah, I was watching Dateline. That guy murdered someone. Do you think he woke up that day and said, today's a good day? Nope. I would say that guy had bitterness. And that bitterness turned into anger. And that anger turned in, he wanted what he wanted. Right? Let's go. I mean, we live in Columbia, you guys. Yeah? I mean, I could pick apart the whole Coleman case. And this is it right here. This is the Coleman case right here, you guys. This is bitterness and anger, and until all of a sudden you didn't get what you wanted, and now you didn't get what you wanted. You wanted revenge, and you got rid of the things that were in your way. Is this not that case? I was pretty closely tied and connected. That is that case. Okay? This is something that should hit home. Oh, I would never get to that point. Says every murderer. Says every drug addict. And I will never be like my dad. Really? Because you're looking just like him right now. Oh, I would never. My dad did that. Yeah. You didn't deal with the seed that your dad planted inside of you. And now you're not only doing what your dad did, you're doing worse things. Because that is what happens. So how do I spot this? How do I spot? You know, because I know there's this moment right now for us as the church where we go, man, this is really good message for someone else. Like, this is really good. I need to share this on YouTube. I'll get those 1,000 subscribers. They need to really hear this. This is the point where we're like, oh, somebody else. It's always somebody else. How do I spot this? First way I spot this is, how's your replay? How's your replay of what happened to you? What someone said? Bitterness flourishes in the soil of justification. How's your replay? I've found, man, I find in my own life when I'm replaying things that have happened to me, there are opportunities to deal with, or there are opportunities where I could meditate on and make them worse. Okay? So how's your replay? What are you doing with the replay? What about your mouth? You kissing your mom with that mouth? Romans 3, Paul's saying, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. What is mouths full of bitterness look like? What does it look like? There's a connection. And Matthew talks about this. Jesus talks about it. There's a connection with what we say and where our heart is. There is. There's a connection. They're closely connected. So again, what am I replaying in my mind? How am I fixing my mind on the things that are pure, holy, all of those things that Paul talks about in Philippians? And what am I saying? What am I saying? Again, usually what I say is just an extension of the bitterness that's in my heart. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you sick? There's a psychologist, and he studied bitterness for 15 years. This is his quote, not mine. When harbored for a long time, bitterness may forecast patterns of biological dysregulation, impairment that can affect metabolism, immune system, immune response, and organ function, and physical disease. Scientists have concluded that bitterness, if left unchecked, interferes with the body's hormonal and immune systems. Bitter people tend to have higher blood pressure, heart rate, and more likely to die of heart disease and other illnesses. Okay? That's 15 years of study, not mine. Of course, the Apostle Paul didn't have access to that kind of data when he wrote much of the New Testament. But this is what he said in Acts chapter 8. He said, I can see deep bitterness has poisoned you, and wickedness has locked you in chains. He says, I can see deep bitterness has poisoned you. So the question is, and again, I got to give this disclaimer, even though it should go without saying, I'm not saying if you have high blood pressure or high heart rate that you're a bitter person. But I'm also saying it because there's a possibility that you do. I think a lot of times we don't say certain things because it may not always be that. So it's kind of this teenage mindset that I'm discovering when teenage kids and maybe other people say things like, you always say this. You never do that. Well, that's a bit dramatic because there are times that I do say it. And there are times that I don't say it. So to say that you always do something or you never do something is a bit dramatic. Okay? So I'm going to say that there are times where your height rate or your heart rate is because a line of family. It is because you don't take care of your body. It is because you're carrying bitterness. Okay? There are times you have high blood pressure because you don't handle stress well. Okay? And you've been blaming your mom for that. At what point, 55-year-old, are you going to take responsibility that maybe it's not your mom's fault? At what point are we going to say, hey, I'm not healthy, and it's because I'm carrying all of this anger, all of this bitterness, all of this things that I deserve, and I've justified it my whole life, and it's time is enough, because now, according to Deuteronomy, it's affecting your whole family. See, Hebrews 12:15 is first described in Deuteronomy 29, where he says, I'm making this covenant with you, so that no one among you, no man, no woman, no clan or tribe, will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of other nations. And so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. He's saying, my prayer is that your family doesn't go away from church, doesn't stop serving Jesus. When they old and they depart your household, my prayer is that they constantly still have a relationship with Jesus, that they're still giving, they're still serving, that who God is still the same God yesterday and today and forever. He's saying, this is my prayer. And my second prayer is that they are not bitter people. Because he knows if they are bitter, it will destroy them. Am I saying that you're gonna die tomorrow from stress? No, but I am saying that there might be people that were not diagnosed with that, but they might have been dying bitter. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. That gets a little too personal. You know why it gets personal? Because you and I want results, and we want them right now. So come on, church. Fill me up. Do something for me. Come on, doctor, do something for me. Fix me. Fix me. That's not what Hebrews is saying. Hebrews 12 is saying, hey, there's a root, and the only way you're going to get this root is the only way is you're going to have to dig. Well, I'm not manual labor type of person. Yeah, I know. That's why you have a mountain in front of you. You know how you dig up roots? You know how you get them out? You started digging. I don't know what else to tell you. You just start digging. Well, man, my mountain is huge. And you know, yeah, that means you got to get all the other stuff off first. I got to start getting this mountain off. And we're like, but God, I just want to pray. And I just want you to move this mountain from here and throw it into the sea so that I can start fresh. And yes, there is forgiveness. And you can start that process. But there does not mean that there is not consequences to the things that we've done in the past. How do you think Paul's reputation was when he showed up to the disciples? Do you think he showed up to the disciples and was like, Paul, welcome. We heard you gave your heart to the Lord. Come on in. Come on in. I heard you killed a couple of my friends because they followed Jesus, but we love you. Come on in. Listen, forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is not trust. Listen, right now, I've asked Jesus to forgive me. That does not mean Jesus trusts me. Oh, I thought everything just started over. Yeah, I know. You've watched a lot of movies. I have no doubt you think that. You know, this is not a, we're going to sing a really good song at the end and we're going to get this root up at the end of service. This is, you better grab a shovel and hopefully you got some friends with shovels because this root is pretty deep. And it's going to take all of you. So you better give out that shovel right. You better find some friends because you're going to, but you know what I think we do most of the time? I think a lot of times we instead grab a rake. I think I grab a rake. Yeah, go ahead, grab me a rake. It's Sean's rake. It's different than my shovel. Mine doesn't look used, and Sean's does. Oh, actually, it has cobwebs on it. It's not being used. I was trying to go there, bro. Sorry. I think we just kind of, oh, let me just stir it up. I think I'm good. I'm good. I'm fine. I've just spread it out a little bit. You've done nothing with the root. Oh, something's sprouting up here. Son, grab the trimmer. going to knock this thing off. You've done nothing for the root. Well, I sprayed. It died. You've done nothing for the root. Why does this seem like it's always coming back up? Because you've done nothing for the root. I don't always want to be this way. Do something with the root. It's not over. Your life is not over. It's just beginning. Any sports fans in this room knows the game may look like it's over. It's not over. You're not done. The same love that God has for Paul that he's confident in is the same love that he has for you. And because he loves you, he's exposing the root so that we can get the root out, so that we can be effective and we can be the people that do what God asks us to do. But you'll never be what God wants you to be until you get the root out. And we're trying to help. We're trying to get people to get around you. Stop making excuses and being so easily offended. It doesn't really matter. The things we're complaining about, they don't really matter. They're just revealing how many seeds are down there. And here's the hard part, you guys. I'm going to tell you some hard things right now. I got it up. That was a lot of work. That's good. There's about 10 more. Oh, I don't like to hear that. I know. It's going to be a process, you guys. I feel like I've taken this same life group 3 times. Yep, you probably need it 4 or 5 more. It's what it is. Well, I want to be like so-and-so. So-and-so doesn't have those seeds that were planted in their life. Well, it feels like they're growing. I don't know why they had a better family situation. I don't know why their circumstance was different. I don't know why you got to spend time digging up this root. I apologize. I hate it for you, but let's still do it. Stop comparing your life to other people because they got other roots that they got to pull up too that you don't have to do. Again, stop doing that to other people. Just start digging. Just start digging. Start digging. Someone in the first service told me, I need a hoe, not a shovel. I don't know what a hoe does, but I need a shovel. And I need to dig deep. And I need people around me that are going to help me dig deep. Because listen to me, there's some of you in this room, you've gone through this process. And guess what? You're healed. You are. You're healed. You've been forgiven. You're thriving. You're moving along. Guess what? Grab a shovel. Grab a shovel. You're not done. You've not arrived. Well, I feel like I'm pretty good. Like I'm done. Like that's it, right? Nope. Grab the shovel. That guy's got a root too. Help them. Help them. Listen, if you're breathing in this room, you grab a shovel. Well, I feel like I've been there, done that. Sweet, do it again. We need you. Do it again. It's harder work than the rake. Grab a shovel. Would you stand with me? Jesus. Jesus, today, God, whatever the emotion, whatever the circumstance, whatever the seed was that was maybe thought of, maybe people in this room thought they let go of something. And maybe they're discovering that there's still work to be done. God, I pray right now for every single one of us. Maybe a wrong's been done to us. And we're just hurt. We're replaying the words that were spoken, what she said, what he said. And we're just hurting. God, I'm thankful that your love for us that nothing can separate. That you love us. God, I pray that you would help us to see that today. And guys, today I'm just asking that you, if you're in this room and you need to start the process. Maybe you're here and you just say, I just need someone to pray with me. Maybe you need to confess something. Maybe you need to talk about something. Maybe you just need to identify, I have a seed that I have to start the process of getting rid of. Listen, that starts with a conversation between you and the Lord and then you and another person. So there's going to be people here as these guys sing. And this is a declaration song. This is us just declaring who we are, whose we are, that God loves us and that we belong. But God, I pray today, strength and boldness over every single person in this room to take a step, maybe a confrontation, to grab a shovel and to start the process of digging. God, I'm thankful that there are men and women in this room that are for one another, that are willing to roll up the sleeves and say, let's get to work. God, life group leaders, pastors, people in this room that say, hey, how can we help? God, I thank you for the healed, for those in this room that have been healed and they're in this process of digging up and they're experiencing growth and healing because of this. God, may we never forget that we are to constantly carry a shovel. In the name of Jesus, amen.